Turn in your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. And again, we're going to be talking about application today as we look at this scripture. And it's about not just what we read and what we hear, but applying it to our lives. These shoe boxes are a great opportunity for application. My prayer today is that we stop just hearing it, we stop reading it, just doing that, and we start applying it. Amen? We start applying what this word tells us to do. With that in mind, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice in it.
Amen. Thank you. I heard this side even overpowered by them, but I still heard you guys, so thank you very much for that. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it's a great area, I'll tell you in just a minute, for me, because it ties in with what I do. So therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who has built his house on what? The sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. It didn't fall. Great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. And we talked about this in one of our Connect groups the other day. Why were they astonished? And it says, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So he wasn't speaking just as a religious person, but he spoke with authority. And they were amazed at that. Said, oh my gosh, we can understand. And he told of the parables. He used parables to tell these stories. And the parables were for those people that were lost, that didn't fully understand. And he used these little stories with a great impact to connect with people. Now here's why I love this and why it fits in with me. Because on my gift assessment, the ability to do things, handiwork, whatever it is, mine was, as you recall, the lowest. Okay? It was the lowest. So a handyman I am not. So when I went to a friend's house the other day, fairly new house, and saw some cracks, and I say fairly new, a couple years, there were some cracks, and I said, we can fill these cracks. We can fix that stuff. Let's do it. I can do that. Right. But anyway, he said, no, we don't want to do that yet. Because if we fill these cracks, we haven't addressed the true problem of what's causing the cracks. Now, what's causing those cracks? Foundation. Exactly. There are foundational issues. He said, no, the foundation has to stop settling. Once it's done, then we can go fill the cracks, we can patch them, and they won't happen again. But if we do it now, and it's not done settling, what's going to reappear? The cracks, right? Being a craftsman myself, of course, I said, absolutely, you're right. I should have known that, but I didn't know that. What's the practical application for us here, though? Constantly, as Christians, we try and address the cracks immediately, and we want to fix those cracks. We want to fill them. We want to patch them. But we never slow down and say, what's causing this? And we never look at the foundational issues that are causing those cracks. Small story Jesus uses, big impact. We've got two men. One's wise, one's a fool. Built on the rock, built on sand. Storms came to both of them. Wednesday night, we talked about discipleship. And we talked about a lot of churches say, hey, we're a church that's interested in making disciples. And I said, what does that thing look like when we're done? That thing can look like each and every one of us. It's different. Someone said, I don't know that we're the ones that say when a disciple is made. I'd agree to that for the most part. But one thing we determined disciples were, they were intentional. They didn't let things just happen. They set out and said, man, this is a plan. I have to make sure I'm what? Committing. Make sure I'm submitting. We can't just say, hey, I'm a disciple. Yeah, I know about Jesus. I may know stuff about you guys, but I don't know you, some of you, deeply, because I haven't spent that time to get to know you. I know about you. And it's the same thing with our relationship with Jesus Christ. We know about him. We hear things, and it's nice, and he loves us. But do we have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ where we're in need, we can go to him? Jesus, man, I'm struggling. Can you help me here? Versus going up to him going, Jesus, or do you prefer to be called Lord? Because, man, I haven't spent much time, so what do I call you? Mr. Christ? You see, we don't have that personal relationship. But disciples are intentional, and they spend time with him, not just knowing about him, but getting to know him. There's a story of a gentleman that was traveling years ago, back in the 1800s, in 1888, on a visit to the mountains of Asheville, North Carolina. George Washington Vanderbilt II. He decided to build a home, and he hired two famous architects, Richard Morris Hunt, Frederick Law Olmsted, to design, keep note of that word, to design the house. Not just the house, but the grounds around it. Construction began the next year, was mostly finished by 1895 when the house was. It was known as the Biltmore House. And it first opened. 175,000 square feet, this house was. Considered America's largest private residence, one of the most beautiful as well. More than 1 million people every year line up to see it. And what are they going to see? 250 rooms. Get a load of this fact, folks. 35 bedrooms. Even better, though, 43 bathrooms. 65 fireplaces. Priceless art collection. Indoor swimming pool. That's a pretty massive structure. All of that very intentional. The wise man, you may say. Taking contrast, we may call the foolish person. 2,500 miles away in San Jose, California, people line up to see a very different house. Sarah Winchester bought an 8-room farmhouse in 1884 and started adding on about the same time as the Vanderbilt house was begun. She built and built and built until she died in 1922. By then it became a rambling structure. It had grown to 160 rooms with a maze of passageways. But listen to this. No discernible master plan. The Winchester Mystery House, it was called, had staircases leading nowhere. Doors opening to nothing. Beautiful stained glass blocked by walls. And at least one window in the middle of the floor. That's pretty amazing. Two amazing houses people line up to see, but very different plans for each one of them. The key difference between the two was design and intention. Remember, the first one, Vanderbilt, had people hired to design the house and the grounds. Sarah Winchester just told people to do what she told them to do as she bumbled along her way. Vanderbilt started with a clear vision. Sarah did not. But listen to this. If she did have a clear vision, it says she got lost along the way. We have to be careful that we don't get lost along the way. Even if we have a set plan. My wife and I went to the thriving metropolis of Paul's Valley last night to see Michaela in a marching band. Even though we thought we knew where we were going, where was it held? The high school, right? No. What did we Google? The high school. Well, the three cars there told us that there was not a band competition going on there. So even though we started out with good intentions of going to the right place, by the way, Michaela, you did a wonderful job yesterday. We took it upon ourselves to say, we know where we're going. And we didn't. Now, we eventually found it. Had a great time. But I'm just saying, it's easy to think we have a plan, to think we know where we're going, and then to get lost along the way. And that happens in our daily life. We're building something. We're working on something. We're sitting here today building and working on something. Then we stand back in the midst of it all. What is this I'm working on? What am I building? You see, I'm going and going and going and going and going and going and going. But when I look around, what is it that I'm going for? What is it that I'm going after? When I get there and turn around, will there be anything to show for it? We have to stand back and look at these things. We have to say, where did we start out? Where do we want to go? What's the path to get me there? And then go back and reflect on that every now and then. Sometimes we're not sure what we're trying to build. They say Sarah Winchester sometimes was just trying to keep people employed, so she just said, build a hallway, build a stairway. Where do you want it to go to? No, we're just build it. I want to keep you gainfully employed. But research links finding and remembering our life's purpose. Listen to this. With lower stress. Can you imagine that? Can anyone use lower stress? Two of you. Okay, great. Okay, well, lower stress. The two of you can have that if you do that. Better health. Anyone need better health? Six of you. Okay. All right, a longer life. I'll take that. And it starts with design. Knowing how we want all those variables to fit together and what the plan is for us. It's just about being careful of what we're doing and what our design is. Now the problem becomes, even when we have a plan, we can tend to drift in and out of that plan. And some time ago, Eric did a sermon, and it was about guardrails in our life. We have to have those guardrails, because when we drift and we get out of place, we get lost. We end up somewhere we didn't want to be. We end up someplace that we didn't choose to be. Usually you don't drift to a destination you didn't want to be at. Young people with cars, I'm not talking about drifting, you know, the car thing. I'm talking about you don't know where you're going and you're going where the wind's blowing you type stuff. Maybe some of the older folks that like to drift also, I don't know. But we don't do that. Drifting is passive and not intentional, and we want to work on being intentional. Amen? All right, all right. So when we look at these guys building their houses, the man and the lady, the difference was in design and in planning, right? Design and planning. It's the same thing in the Christian life. And we talked about that again Wednesday night and said, what is a disciple? Can you be here a few times a year and be called a disciple? I said it would be very difficult to find a true disciple that only showed up a few times a year. Because, as you mentioned, the discipline it takes to do those things without that fellowship of the body, that accountability that we have for one another, that's hard to find when you're out there on your own. Well, I hold myself accountable. Oh, pff, you do not. If I held myself accountable, I'd be a mess. Because it doesn't work out that way. That's why we need accountability partners. That's why we need fellowship with the body. They'll help hold us accountable. But really what they help us do is draw us to accountability for ourselves. When we come here, we think, oh, I better behave myself. I don't want to be crazy, acting crazy, and then these people know about it. We're going to look at that in just a minute as well. Now listen, this house that we build on the rock or on the sand, whatever that is, a house we build, that can symbolize different things for each one of us. It could be our physical house, a place where we dwell. It can be our family. It can be gifts that God has blessed us with. What he's saying is, you have to take care of those things that I have given you. But listen to this. The hearers of this parable, or the men in this parable, had the same setting. Boom, build your dream home. Okay, they're both going to go out. Hey, we're building a home. I got a dream home I'm building. They both had the same teaching and instruction and or hearing. Build it on the rock. Don't build it on the sand. Here's why. So they both had the same information. And in the end, both had the same experiences. Lord, here comes a storm. The wind and the rain is coming to both men. Same three things. Boom, we're building a house. We have a dream. We're going to build it. We got the same information on how to build it. We experienced the same exact storm. Now listen carefully. When we hear this information, listen carefully, church. This is important. This is what separates us. And this is what changes us. Hearing it and agreeing it with it does not mean you are living it and walking in it. Some people are taking notes. I better say that again just in case. Hearing it and agreeing with it does not mean you are living it and walking in it. You can sit right on the front here and jump up and down and shout hallelujah all day long. And you can agree with everything that's said and everything the Bible says. But if you're not living it and walking in it, it doesn't matter. You're that clanging cymbal the Bible talks about. My Lord, you're just making noise. The difference is when you walk in it and you live in it. And you do that when you submit and when you commit your life to Jesus Christ. You can belong to Jesus. Now you come three times a year, great. You ask Jesus into your heart long ago, great. I'm going to heaven, I know it because I asked him into my heart. I don't live my life that way. Okay, great, you're going to heaven. But man, he's really got bigger plans for you when you get there. And it's not just to go to heaven. It's to go there in your life afterwards. And it says all your works in the meantime will go through the fire. You have to build on the proper foundation. You know me, I have a but in there. However, or but, listen carefully. You can have a proper foundation. Many people grew up with a proper foundation. Now, what do you build on top of that? When you use poor or inferior products to build on top of that solid foundation, you run into problems as well. The wise man has and uses good plans. Okay? So we have to use good plans. We have them. We have to use them. So the wise man uses good plans. The wise man doesn't just have them there for reference. Can we just be real? How many of you guys get instructions to put something together and it's sitting there aside but you don't use it? And you put it together and then you have your spare parts afterwards? Or you've got to undo to put back on to make it right. One of my first jobs was building bicycles for a department store. I didn't want to think about my craftiness gift back then. But anyway, They trusted me, a 16-year-old kid, to build their bicycles and do a safety checklist and check everything off. And I did. But do you know how many times I had to take something off to put the stupid reflector on because I forgot it, because I just thought, oh, I know what I'm doing by now. I've been building bikes for 6 months. I know what I'm doing. Good Lord, Adam, I've been in church 25 years. I know what I'm doing. I could quote out of this Bible all day long. It's just there for reference in case someone else needs it. Remember the disciples? You're going to deny me 3 times. Not me. That group, them, they're all going to deny you. But not me, Jesus. Oh, heck no. We think we have it. We think we don't need it. I'm going to keep these instructions right here. Changed the light bulb in my mother's car yesterday. She said, I went to O'Reilly's and they said, no, you have to take the fender off. I said, that's ridiculous, Mom. You don't have to take a fender off to replace a light bulb in your car. Chevy Malibu. I Googled it. I said, I told you, no need to take the fender off, Mom. You just have to take the bumper off, it says. I said, it's not hard. It's just time consuming, Mom. I can do it Saturday morning. Her crafty son. So I'm Googling this thing, and I'm watching these YouTube videos for 15 minutes going, oh my Lord, you've got to be kidding me. Dumbest design in the world. Take off the bumper cover and the front bumper and pull it off. And so I got out and I looked at her car. She comes out and said, Mom, this doesn't make sense. It looks like 2 bolts, but I don't know. So I come inside. She said, oh, you done? I said, no, I haven't started. Hang on, Mom. I'm YouTubing it. I don't know. This doesn't make sense. It's not what I'm seeing. I mean, it seems like I should just be able to undo 2 bolts and do it. And I said, let me just play with this for a while. And I go outside 30 minutes later, undo 2 bolts and the headlights out in my hands. I'm like, what's all this incorrect information on YouTube about having to take a bumper off? She was ready to take it up to a station because they said they can change it reasonably priced for you. I said, good grief, I know how to change a light bulb, but just, I'm looking, going, it's right there. 2 bolts, undid it. 4 minutes later, bulb's in, 2 bolts back in. Didn't have to mess with it. Sometimes we have to be careful with that building material and the instructions. Where did we get the instructions from? If we're getting it from here, keep it and use it, guys. Make plans to refer to it. When it comes from other people, double check that. It may be another model they were talking about, not you. You mention often. This is for general correction. What applies to you does not apply to you. What applies to you does not apply to you. Now it does in the big picture as far as being obedient and disciplined, but the way we get there is different for each one of us. We're on a different path and we're on a different journey. Each one of us, what we do together here has come together, share that journey, share the path. Ooh, I've been there. There was a quicker route. I took the long route. You don't ever want to take the long route. Oh, there's a quick route, but be careful. You miss the beauty of the long route sometimes. And we share those experiences. Follow those plans. Refer to those plans. The wise man referred to the plans, and he referred to them often. Why? For direction, but listen to this, and to check and see the level of compliance as they moved along the journey to build the house. We have to be able to go back and check our level of compliance to the plans. Lord, I got way off on your plans, and I know it, and I don't know what to do. Listen, guys, this is very... it's a very difficult thing to know what to do when you varied from the plans. I told you before, when I was up crawling in my attic one time working on something, I saw these 2x4s up there and they were burnt. I asked the neighbor, was there a fire in my house before? Oh yeah, they were over there working on it. The fire department came. The worker, he just left. Called the fire department, left before they got there. Well, luckily, they didn't have to rebuild the entire house. They were able to fix some of the area that was burned up there in the rafters. But that's what we have to look at and say, God, I've got some damage here. I have skipped some of your plan. Now, where do I go? The scary thing is when he says you got to tear it down and rebuild on that same foundation. If we're lucky, he says, just take off the roof here and rebuild the roof. You're okay with the rest of it. Sometimes he says, the room's okay, but the wiring's wrong or the plumbing's wrong. Get it fixed. But we have to be careful when we check that level of compliance. And we try and find out and follow along where we are. Is he going to tell us to rebuild something? And that's a scary part. And that's generally why we don't go back and check our foundational issues. Whew. I've been doing this for 37 years. I don't want to go back and change that. That's going to be hard. Yo, yeah. Are we up for the challenge or not? Are we Christ followers? Are we not? Are we disciples or are we not? Now, that's for each one of you to answer for yourself. That difference in the foundation. To have that solid foundation is to sustain our dreams. How many of you have skyscraper dreams? But you're trying to build them on shed foundations. It is a tough thing to do when you have a shed foundation trying to build that skyscraper. And God says, man, you've got to fix that foundation. You've got to enlarge that thing. You've got to tear that one out and put a new one down. And that's a tough thing. We hear the word of God. We fail to act on it. We have to move, again, from agreement to action. Are you hearing me? We have to move from agreeing, amen, Adam, that's good stuff, amen, and then going home and doing our own stuff, to action. When we move into action, that's where the power of God is released. That's where His blessings start flowing in our lives. Adam, He's already blessed me. I said, His blessings start flowing. They start flowing. They don't trickle in. They start flowing in when we move from agreement to action. You can't say yes today and overspend tomorrow. You can't say yes today and do drugs tomorrow. You can't say yes today and get drunk tomorrow. You can't say yes today and go smoke dope tomorrow. You can't say yes today and get on Facebook and say some of that crazy stuff and post some of the crazy stuff we post. We can't say yes today and cuss each other tomorrow. It does not go hand in hand. We have to move from hearing and agreeing to living and walking in it through action. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your plans. You see, we don't have to come up with our own at this point. You've created the plan. Lord, help us today, though, to move from hearing to application. Move us from passive living to intentional living. Move us today from patching the cracks on the surface to fixing the foundation causing those cracks. If you're here today and you need to address foundational issues, all I want you to do is let me know later. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to come forward right now. But I want each one of you to think, am I just agreeing or am I walking it and living it? And let me or Pastor Eric know, so we can get you some help on transitioning from where you are to where God desires you to be. Not where you want to be, but from where you are to where God desires you to be. Lord, guide our actions as we go out this week. Let the fruit of the Spirit be evident in our actions and in our words to those we know and don't know. Lord, help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. Help us to be your ambassadors, your examples of your love and your forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.